Good morning to you.
You've got a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 6. And as we come to sort of the end of our journey through Lent, we're just going to carry on our series looking at the seven signs of Jesus. And again, as we've been doing over the last few weeks, just want to look at this very briefly because we want to make some space to for us to practice some of the things that we see happening here in this text and leaving plenty of time for us to be able to minister to one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for this time of year, this kind of season. Sarah was talking about seasons, this season that we're in, as we slow down, interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of the Almighty as we turn our eyes towards the cross this week, as we turn our eyes and our attention towards the resurrection. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. Amen. This is John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that's the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he'd performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There's plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. In terms of the overall story of the Bible, if the Bible has a major distinction to compared to many of the other books that we read, it's that the Bible is this continual record, if you like, of miracles. The Bible records these miracles like God speaking the universe into existence at creation, the parting of the Red Sea, the virgin birth. There are extraordinary healings of the blind and the deaf, and of course the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate next week. The Bible records all of these great miracles, and there's many, many others. And there's also, it records hundreds of smaller miracles. The small miracle of the transformation that takes place in people's lives. The greedy tax collector who suddenly becomes a generous giver. The woman who's been oppressed all of her life, who's set free through the power of love and forgiveness. The man who hates Christians, who becomes one of the fondest Christian. He loves Christians. The most kind of famous Christian that the world's ever known. And this multiplication of the loaves, this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, it's well known to many of us. But it's actually, I think, the only miracle other than the resurrection of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. Jesus is out, he's in the middle of nowhere. He's on the far side of the shore, the Sea of Galilee, is away and far from any kind of village or town. And this great crowd, this great multitude of people follow him to this really remote place because they've seen all of the healings and the miracles that he's been doing. And what we're looking at today is this, the miracle of the multiplication of just these five small barley loaves and these two small fish, so that there's enough food, not just to feed 5,000, I mean, it's just 5,000 men, but to feed, you know, probably or possibly 15 to 20,000. There would have been all these women and all these children who would have also gone to find out more about this Jesus. And the first thing that we see is that miracles are real. Miracles are real. Have a look at verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. This is a genuine miracle. You know, this isn't a miracle. This isn't just something where, you know, Jesus gets this little boy to share his lunch and then everyone goes, oh, look at that sweet little boy sharing his lunch. Okay, I'll share my lunch too. You know, they're all convicted by this small boy's example, and so they begin to share their lunch. You know, one chap shares his, I don't know, tuna casserole, and somebody else says, I've got a few chicken wings in my bag, so I'm happy to share those with you. This, you know, this isn't like the first bring and share lunch or whatever it's called that we're witnessing. This is a miracle. Jesus takes these five little pieces of bread, and they're, you know, these barley loaves, they're probably like little pita breads. It's like little flat bread type things. These two little fish, and he multiplies them so that there's enough to feed all these people. This is a clear intervention. This is a clear demonstration of the power of the Almighty God. This is the breakthrough of the future age crashing into our present age. Let's never underestimate that. A second thing is that miracles happen when we become aware of need. Have a look at verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat? You see, Jesus is aware that the fact that the people are coming and they're going to be hungry. The disciples are also aware of the fact that there are all these people and they're going to be hungry. And miracles often begin with a deep awareness of other people's need. Many of us have faith for miracles. Many of us long to see miracles, but sometimes maybe the reason we're not seeing miracles is because we're not seeing the need of those around us. Maybe one of the reasons that we feel that we're not seeing miracles in the way that we used to or the way that we would love to is because perhaps we're just too busy with our lives and our work to see the needs of those around us. You know, if you think about what is it that Jesus might see if he were to stroll around southwest London? What would Jesus see? What do you think Jesus might see? Do you think Jesus would see any need in our communities, in our towns, in our places where we live, where we work, wherever it may be? Do you think Jesus would see people who are lonely? Do you think Jesus would see people who are struggling with addiction and with debt? Do you think Jesus would see young people struggling to find their place in the world, old people just left to their own devices, people who are sick, people who are anxious and afraid? You know, if we were to stop the service, what we're doing right now, and just leave here and all go for a walk, just onto the streets, just around here, just onto the Ashburton estate, do you think we'd encounter anybody in need? People in need of Jesus in their lives. Do you think it would be hard to find people just here, just around the area here? Do you think it would be hard to find people who are in need of a miracle? Would it be likely that we'd encounter people who are in need of more of the ministry, if you like, of a church like this? In need of things like the bereavement course that Dillis and the team have just finished running, that was rammed, it was full. That was full, and the next course is full, and we're already on a waiting list for the next course. We just need Dillis and the team to be brave enough to lead it again. But people from outside the church coming in and just saying, like, I need to deal with some of this stuff. What about parenting courses? The team are running parenting courses. There was one just the other week, A Mind of Their Own. There's another one coming up in June about helping kids deal with devices. There's a parenting course starting in September, which is going to be running here on a Sunday morning. Do you think we might encounter people who are struggling with their parenting? and would love to kind of engage with something that might equip them and help them to parent. Or house groups. You know, just we take it for granted, but you know what? The fellowship and the authenticity and the genuine connection and community that we have in our small groups, week in, week out, some people just like would be desperate just to be part of a group like that. Or food bank, you know, that happens at the yard every week, or job club, or grow baby. Do you think we might encounter people who are in need of ministries like that? Because miracles happen when we become aware of people's needs. Chances are, if we or someone we know doesn't need a miracle, we're unlikely to pray for a miracle. And if we don't pray for a miracle, chances are we're not going to see miracles. It's been amazing. Kay and a whole bunch of people have been praying every single morning at 7 a.m. I have not been at the prayer meeting at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. faithfully, day in, day out, since the 1st of January. Praying for miracles, praying for this kind of stuff, crying out to God, Lord, will you intervene? Can we see the breakthrough of the kingdom come crashing through in the same way that we saw the feeding of the 5,000? Might we see that in our day and in our time? Lord, we've heard of your fame. Will you make it known to us again? This leads us on to our third thing. Miracles happen when we reach the end of ourselves. Have a look at verse 7. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. You know, whenever we can do things by ourselves, whatever it may be, we're far less in need of God's help for a miracle. It's when we reach our limits. It's when we kind of go, I can't afford to feed all of these people. Like, I haven't got that kind of cash. Like, I can't do that. It's when we say, you know, I can't overcome this addiction. It's like, I can't figure out what to do in this situation. That's when we cry out to God for intervention. Back in verse 5, Jesus asked this question. He says, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? You know, the disciples look at the little that they have and say, you know, it's impossible. There's just not enough to go around. We don't have that kind of money. We don't have enough bread and not enough fish. We can't feed this crowd. It can't be done. And then there's a challenge and an invitation to us for a moment to consider the infinite size and power of God when we say it can't be done. You know, think about the God who spoke the stars into existence. Consider the one who flung the galaxies into being such that they're still in motion after millions of years. Consider Jesus, who, when we started looking at this series, turned the water into wine, who raised the little girl from the dead, who caused the eyes of the blind to see. In Genesis 18, verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes when we need a miracle, we need to remember that nothing is impossible for him. And then lastly, miracles happen when we all participate, when we all participate. Most of us, many of us, long for God to intervene, to make things right, to bring about a change, to effect a change. You know, on earth, let things be, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God to intervene from heaven and just do something miraculous. Here's what we read from Mark's version of this story. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 37. It says this, but he answered, this is Jesus, he answered, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's a participatory sport. We are an army, not an audience. Everyone gets to play. You know, and everyone was involved in this miraculous lunch. You know, Andrew brings this small boy to Jesus, and, you know, he is a small boy. The Greek word here kind of implies that he's not actually, not yet an adolescent. You know, children are involved in this miracle with a small boy's lunch and 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. As I said, we're talking about 5 little pita breads and 2 fish, probably 2 little sardines. The poor were involved in this miracle. The barley bread was bread, the bread of the poor. Then how are these 5 barley loaves and these 2 sardines multiplied? You know, most people, many of us think, well, you know, the bread and the fish, it was all multiplied by Jesus, and Jesus just did his little magic thing and, you know, stacked up piles of bits of bread and piles of fish, and, you know, there were like barrels of the things, I don't know, and the disciples, you know, managed to maybe conjured up a couple of wheelbarrows, and the disciples put all the fish and the bread in the wheelbarrows and they wheeled it round the crowds. But Mark chapter 6, you know, Jesus says to the disciples, you give them something to eat. You do it. John Wimber, the founder of this stream of churches called the Vineyard, he always said that the miracle of the multiplication didn't happen through the hands of Jesus, but almost certainly through the hands of the disciples. Jesus takes a little bit of bread and fish and gives it to the disciples. He blesses it and gives it to the disciples and says to them, now you go and feed these people. Andrew, you go and feed these people over there. Peter, you go and feed those people over there. You know, and Peter probably looked at the bread and fish. He's been given this little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, and he's supposed to go off and feed all these people. He's probably saying to himself, this is just madness. Why does Jesus keep getting me into these flipping scrapes? I'm now got to walk around to these people. They're all sitting there. They think there's food coming their way. They're really hungry. They're going to look at what's in my hand. It's a tiny bit of bread and a tiny bit of fish. I know what these people are like when they're hungry. They're going to tear me limb from limb. You know, he looks at this piece of bread and he says, you know, well, maybe, I don't know, if I tear it into really tiny pieces, like, I don't know what to do here. You know, I'll give it to the big guy over there first, and then at least he'll be, like, hungry. He won't be hungry. And why does Jesus keep making me do these crazy things? This is so embarrassing. This is so awkward. I hate being a disciple. It's terrible. But he obeys Jesus. He goes up the hill with his tiny kind of few bits of bread and his, like, bit of a fish tail and tears it off, and it starts multiplying in his hand somehow. Either it multiplies in his hand or it's just what is in his hand never goes away. And he suddenly starts, wow, like, look, did you see that? Like, hold on. Like, I thought I'd, like, given it away, but like, I've still got as much left as I started with. This is incredible. And then he suddenly starts, you know, like, what's going on? He tears off another piece and there's more bread. There are more fish, and he's tearing up more pieces, ripping up the fish, and it's all just multiplying. It's just not running out. And then he starts to kind of go, oh, okay, this is great. Huh, look at this. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And the crowd starts celebrating. You know, why not? They're watching and witnessing a miracle taking place. The miracle happened through the hands of the disciples. It required their participation in faith. Christianity is always a participatory sport. It's not a spectator sport. If we look across our towns and our cities with the eyes of Jesus, we're going to see need after need all around us. There are endless needs, and we can't meet all of those needs. We are limited. We don't have all of the resources that we need to satisfy the challenges that people are facing. But we can pray. As I said, that's what a bunch of people have been doing every single day since the 1st of January. It's what people do every single week from 9 o'clock in the prayer room over there. It's what people do every Tuesday morning online. And a whole bunch of you do at all other times during the week. Asking, you know, for God's miracle working power for the hundreds of needs around us. And then after we pray, we need to hear Jesus say to us, now you go and feed them. Now you go and do it. Miracles are real. Miracles happen when we become aware of needs. Miracles happen when we reach the end of ourselves, the end of our resources. And miracles happen when we all participate. And one of the things that's absolutely key here, as I've been saying over the past few weeks, is that all of this stuff, you know, these power encounters, these miracles, these signs and wonders, you know, they're not just really meant for the church. They're not really meant for us. They're for those who don't yet know Jesus. They're for those who haven't yet encountered the kingdom. They're for all those people desperately in need of a miracle, desperately searching for answers to everything they're facing. And so what we do here on a Sunday, what we do in our house groups during the week, is in fact just practice for the main event, which is out there. It's out there. It's out there with our friends and our families and our neighbors. It's at the school gate. It's in our places of work. It's wherever the Lord has sent us. That's where this stuff really matters. You know, the very many blessings that we've all received, the mercy of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, wonderful as all of it isn't to be kept as a secret for this space for all of us. It's to be poured out and shared and freely given to all those we meet during the week, wherever it is the Lord sends us. And all that we do here is we just learn how to do it by practicing on one another and learning how to do it safely and compassionately and well. But that's not the ultimate purpose. The purpose is that we take what we learn in here, what we learn in our small groups, what we learn in house group, and we take it out and we give it away out there. So again, we're going to take some time to practice. It's 11:45. If you've got kids in Vineyard Kids, you need to start retrieving them about 10 to, so you've got about 5 minutes, but I'm sure you can kind of work that out. And what we're going to do here, once you've got them, you can bring them back in, absolutely, because children were involved in the multiplication of the bread and fish, and so chances are we will see incredible miracles if we've got the kids back in here. So I'd go get them as quickly as possible. We're going to practice this on each other, and of course the Lord will bless that. But again, it's so that we can be better equipped for wherever it is the Lord is sending us this week. So in a moment, we're just going to invite the Spirit of God to come. And I'm going to invite, what I'm going to do, and just the same, if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll have seen this, but I'm going to invite any of you who want to receive prayer, any of you who would like prayer for anything at all, especially those of you who are in need of a miracle, but basically any of you who are in need of an encounter with the Spirit of God, I'm just going to invite you to come up here. Don't worry, you're not going to get asked to do anything. You're not going to be asked to like do a dance, or you're not going to be asked to say anything you don't want to say. So it's like perfectly safe, right? Just going to invite you to come down to the front so that we can get people to pray for you. Maybe that you're sick, you need a healing miracle. It may be that you're just going through a really, really hard time. You just need God's comfort. It could be anything at all. So once I've invited you to come down to the front, I'm going to invite everybody else to then come and pray for you. So we should either be being prayed for, or we should be praying for someone else. And you know, like, just in case you're not sure, you don't have to have been here before to kind of qualify. There isn't a sort of a course that you have to attend or a test that you have to pass. You don't have to have a spirituality meter, you know, that's up in the 90th percentile or something, right? As John Mumford used to say, if you've got a pulse, you're on the team, right? So hopefully that covers most of you. So what we'll do after that is we'll just go through some things step by step, and we'll see what the Lord does. Does that make sense? Yes? Not really. Okay, so first, one of the things that we love about the Vineyard, right, is that we're anti-hype. It's like one of our core values, and all that means is that we don't need keyboard softly playing in the background and a string quartet or something, you know, that will sort of get us all into the mood. We can just do this cold, like that's always the best way. So if you'd like to be prayed for any reason, now's the time to come forward.